Welcome to the Deloitte 2020 Technology and Innovation Podcast, a product of the Deloitte Global Insights Program. Today, we're looking at predictions in the technology, media, and telecommunications sectors, and what this means for innovation and business in general. Deloitte 2020 highlights insights that prepare you for tomorrow and is a product of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu. I'm Holly Sagayan, and I'll be your host for today's program, Technology, Media, and Telecommunications Predictions 2010, checking in. At the beginning of each year, the Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Global Technology, Media, and Telecommunications Group draws upon conversations with Deloitte leaders, as well as a variety of industry representatives, to produce a series of predictions. Now, 6 months later, we wanted to find out how those predictions are faring. Here today to provide some perspective on this year's forecasts are Paul Lee and Duncan Stewart. Paul Lee is the director responsible for the technology, media, and telecommunications sectors within Deloitte Research, Deloitte's dedicated thought leadership group. Glad you could join us, Paul.
Thank you for having me.
Duncan Stewart is director of Deloitte Canada Research and co-author of TMT Predictions. Duncan, thanks for your time today.
Great to be here.
So, gentlemen, which of the TMT predictions do you think have resonated most with the companies that you've met with in North America, Europe, and Asia?
I think the prediction which has resonated most has been around mobile data congestion. Now, this was something we talked about in the 2009 predictions, but it's, I think, in 2010 where the real effects of mobile data congestion have really been felt. And what's been interesting is how the awareness of that issue and the interest in what to do about it has varied from region to region. So it's probably been most acute as an issue in terms of interest in places like Western Europe. But looking at India, where there is still very little mobile data, this is more regarded as a problem to come, but one which is likely to manifest itself. So in that part of the world, there are already data plans available at $2 all you can eat per month. So there is an awareness that that problem will probably emerge.
Globally, one of the things that, as Paul says, it's different in different places depending on the level of congestion they're experienced. But one thing that almost everybody agrees on, by 2014, 2015, it's going to be a really big problem almost everywhere. So there is, it may not be here today, but the idea that within 5 years it will be a big issue is around the globe.
And in terms of responses to that, we've recently had a couple of developments in one of the corollary predictions to congestion, which is around the move to usage-based charging. And I know certainly within Western Europe, there are lots of operators looking at what to do next about how to implement that. So those two predictions have been have gone down very well, and a lot of interest has also been shown in what's happening around net neutrality developments in the U.S.
Moving off the telecom topic, though, Holly, one of the certainly the ones that has gotten the most attention, surprisingly, not just from the media and from consumers, but from enterprises, from governments, has been our tablet prediction. Back in January 19th, we made a forecast that we thought tablet computers in the 12 months following their launch would sell double-digit millions, i.e., more than 10 million units. And to give you some idea of how far outside consensus that was, as of Jan 19th, the high estimate from Wall Street for sales of tablet computers was 1 million units. So we were well outside the range of the expected. Not only have, of course, recent tablet sales been incredible, more than 3 million selling in the first 80 days of introduction, but people are discovering that these tablets are not just the toys that perhaps back in January some of us thought they might be. Instead, they are turning out to be very real business tools. People are using them for work tasks far more than we were expecting. So if you actually take a look at what was sky-high prediction back in January 19th, the reality is that in the first 12 months, based on the current run rate, we could actually see 12, 13 million tablets sell. So that's one that has really shaken up the world of computing devices.
Yeah, and I think one of the great things about the tablet in terms of the enterprise is something which was initially proposed as a benefit for consumers. So the fact that you could watch television almost all the way from the East Coast to the West Coast or even transatlantic, so the 10 hours battery life. And when we talked about that to enterprises, they were saying, But you know the great thing? 10 hours battery life means an entire working day on a single battery charge. So we can give them to our workers who are out in the field, for example, intermediaries, and they have a connected device which will last them the entire day.
So in terms of the innovation that you're seeing, is that do you think that the tablets are really something that's going to take off then for the rest of the year? I guess so.
Yeah, we had this issue with our netbook prediction last year. Everybody kept saying, you know, oh, well, yeah, the first month sales are really good, but it's about to die off any minute now. And, of course, that kept not happening, and they sold over 40 million units last year. We are not expecting that many tablets to sell this year, but certainly 2-3 years out, expecting tablet computers to be selling somewhere about the same level as netbooks, i.e. 40-50 million devices a year, looks to be a very reasonable projection.
So which predictions do you feel are moving more slowly than anticipated?
Certainly our cloud computing prediction is one that we were trying to strike a balance. A lot of people talk about cloud computing. This is the delivery of traditional computer services, storage or applications, over the internet, out there in the cloud, as they say. And that's gotten a lot of hype. And in our prediction, we tried striking a fine balance, pointing out that although cloud was going to grow a lot this year, 50% plus, and it was going to be $70 or $80 billion industry, we did want to make the point that governments and enterprises were more cautious in adopting cloud than consumers, and consumers were sort of the early adopters on cloud computing. Well, I mean, that's one, I don't want to say it's moving more slowly than we predicted. We actually predicted it would happen this way, but it's actually stunning how accurate we were, perhaps. Many of the governments and enterprises that I'm talking to, both in North America, Europe, and in the Mideast, are still looking at cloud. They are dabbling their toes in the waters, but the concerns over security, the concerns over vendor lock-in and portability are still so large that although I would have expected by this point in the year $15 or $20 billion in enterprise and government cloud computing revenues, that number is probably closer to 5 to 10. So although we were right in predicting that government and enterprise would be cautious, even we didn't guess just how cautious they would be.
One change which may happen to make the prediction happen over the rest of the year, you know, to your point, Duncan, that there are a lot of governments which are quite worried about risk, about where data may go. But there is another concern which a lot of governments, particularly those in Western Europe, have, which is the size of their deficits. And one possibility is that attitudes towards risk and location of data may just well change. So the fact that there is, for example, a reluctance to site data in certain countries, which may offer the best prices, what may happen is the impetus will be on, let's go for the lowest price, and let's manage aspects of security to make it workable. So there may be a shift in positions on where data can be located as a result of trying to achieve deficit reduction plans, which are becoming every week, it seems markedly more strident and ambitious. So, Holly, one prediction that we see as going a little bit more slowly than expected is around mobile search. So this is whereby searches are affected from a mobile phone as opposed to a PC, where the majority of them normally take place. And I think what's happened in the first 6 months of this year is that there's been quite a debate over exactly how you monetize advertising in general over search, over mobile phones. And one approach has been to go for search, and another has been to go for marketing and advertising within applications. And I think that battle is still being fought out. But as a result of that, I don't see the progress in mobile search that certainly I was expecting.
Duncan, anything to add?
Not on mobile search, but one of the other ones that, I mean, I agree with everything Paul said, it's dead on. One of the things that's going on, though, we made a prediction at the start of the year that e-reader sales were not going to be as high as some other firms were thinking, that they were not, in fact, going to be the breakout device of 2010. And in the early months of the year, we always knew we were going to be wrong on that. People were going to go out there and buy e-readers and be very, very happy with them. But that sometime, sort of around March or April timeframe, time, we thought that people were going to start saying, I just spent $400 for a black and white e-reader that doesn't do anything other than act as an e-reader, and for another $50 or another $100, I could have gotten a tablet computer that does so much more and does web browsing and video. We are starting to see that right now, and therefore, sort of in line with our prediction, we would not be surprised to see e-reader sales start slowing down. But the interesting thing is that the people who make these e-readers have cut their prices much, much faster and deeper and sooner than we thought they would. In fact, you can now get an e-reader for about $150, and many people are saying that by the fall you may be able to get a standalone e-reader for $99. If that happens, our prediction that e-reader sales will flatten out and then even go down will almost certainly not come true. At $99 rather than $400, these are perfectly acceptable consumer devices that you might use maybe only once or twice a year when you're on vacation and you don't want to pack a suitcase full of books. It really depends what happens with the pricing model on that one. We could end up being completely right in our prediction or completely wrong. And it's kind of out of our hands. It really depends what they're able to do with pricing.
Well, I'm seeing more and more of them on the train, whatever that means. So, you know.
There are more and more of them, but you know, compared to in a world of 6 billion people, selling 5 million e-readers really isn't all that many. And compared, of course, to all the e-readers sold last year in 2009 among all the manufacturers, 5 years after they'd been introduced, has been matched by tablet computers in the first 80 days of introduction. So when you're trying to compare which one of these two is a rapidly adopted consumer device, there's really not much of a comparison.
Finally, what predictions do you think you'll be including in the 2011 reports?
So one of the really hot topics, and Paul alluded to this earlier when he was discussing the importance of mobile search, it's not just the search market on the mobile phone that's a big deal, it's the operating system. And many people in 2010 are looking back at the PC industry. And they're saying, you know, back in 1976 and 1980 and so forth, when the PC industry was emerging, there were a whole bunch of different operating systems. But relatively quickly, there turned out to be one single dominant operating system, and it rapidly seized over 90% of the market, and the company that owned that operating system became a giant in the technology space, controlling not just PCs, but software and essentially innovation across the entire technology, media, and telecom landscape. Similarly, is the same thing going to happen in 2011 and beyond? And next year, we're going to be working on a prediction talking about the likely evolution of the mobile phone, especially the smartphone operating system. It's estimated that by 2014, 700 million smartphones a year will sell, much, much larger than the number of computers that sell in that same year. So fairly obviously, whoever owns the smartphone is going to be in a really important position in terms of determining the innovation that we see going forward in our industry. So we're going to have a prediction about which one it'll be, or perhaps whether there will be a dominant operating system at all.
There's a couple of predictions which I'm looking at the moment for 2011, and one of them is around visual search. So it's the ability to, first of all, tag an image based upon an algorithm, and then to be able to perform a search upon it. And for a long time, search has been just based around text, because that's relatively easy to do, to work out what something is said and then to be able to run search upon that. But what I've seen big advances in the last couple of years has been around the development of algorithms which can work out shape and classify and also work out color. And all the technology around this seems to be developing at quite a pace, to the point where there's already a website which is taking data or faces from Facebook, and they've tagged 7 billion faces. And you know, Google and Microsoft are also working very heavily in this space, and looking at images and creating automated metadata based upon algorithms being applied to those images. And so the prediction is going to be around what that is going to mean in terms of the commercial applications for that in 2011. So over the course of the next few months, we'll be having conversations with some of the players which may be either developing the technology in this space or else exploiting it. So there'll be something around visual search and around what that implies for 2011 and beyond. And a second prediction that we'll be probably looking at will be around data proliferation and extracting insight from that. And there is a tremendous amount of data which has been generated as a lot of what we do goes online. So for example, there is one satellite navigation company which is generating about half a trillion journeys in terms of new data every 3 months and sort of aggregating all of that and using that to generate journey times. And there are lots of examples of companies which are generating absolutely massive quantities of data. And it's better what we'll talk about is the fact that the tools required to analyze that data won't keep up with the proliferation of that data.
All right. Well, I'm sure listeners will be looking forward to those. I know I will. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Visit www.deloitte.com/predictions2010 to access this year's predictions for technology, media, and telecommunications. Visit www.deloitte.com/global for more on Deloitte member firms' involvement in this industry, as well as other industries and service lines. You've been listening to the Deloitte 2020 Technology and Innovation Podcast, a production of Deloitte Global Insights. We want to hear from you. Contact us with your feedback or suggestions for future podcast topics. Find more Deloitte 2020 content at www.deloitte.com/2020. Find Deloitte Global Insights at www.deloitte.com/podcast. This has been a production of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu. Thanks for listening and goodbye for now. Deloitte refers to one or more of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu, a Swiss Orion, and its network of member firms, each of which is a legally separate and independent entity. Please see www.deloitte.com/about for a detailed description of the legal structure of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu and its member firms.